to talk to you a little bit about our voices. Do you know that who invented the best instrument there ever was? The best musical instrument there ever was. Who did that? Huh?
God.
God did. And what's the best instrument there ever was? Voice. Your voice. And do you know that the sound that comes out of your mouth is vibrations? There are vibrations of little cords in there that tighten up. They're called the vocal cords. And they tighten up and you start to sing and those things just start vibrating. Make them. The best sound creation has ever heard. And so what man has done is they try to make something like it. And I have a little instrument here. This is called a pitch instrument. And this instrument is called a chromatic pitch instrument. See, it's kind of chrome, but doesn't mean that. We can explain that later. But this pitch instrument has little reeds inside it. And what happens when you blow in here? That little reed vibrates in there and makes that sound. And so what they did is they took and they tuned the thing by making those reeds just the exact length. And some are longer. A longer one makes a lower. And a shorter reed has to vibrate faster. It'll vibrate faster, so it's this one. Up there. That was low C and high C, the key of C. So that's what our vocal cords do. That's what man has done in making instruments. They make an instrument that vibrates. You can tune it by tightening, lengthening, and all that. So that's what a pitch instrument is. I'm going to see if this marker here will work. We want to talk a little bit about the notes. And I know some of you know this, that this is one of the most important things you need to learn in learning to read music. You want to be able to read music, don't you? Yes. So what we do, someone in the mid-1800s patented a system called shaped notes. This triangle is do, do. We're going to write below it here, do. And then here, our next shape on the scale, we're making a scale of notes. That is a red. Red, how's that? And then, the next one is me, like a diamond, there. And here we have a fa. What we want to do, create a kind of a strange little, find out that's great. Make a nicer fa there. Okay. And then up here, someone tell me what this is. One of the little girls. What is this round one? Soul, yes, very good. And this one, call it out. Soul. La. Yeah. Who is that? You. Oh, very good. P. Ice cream cone. And up here at our dough. Okay. So it's the seven shape system. See, these are the same. Low do, high do. We have a seven shape system here. And any mistakes there? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. And like I said, a man named Jesse Eichen. He invented and patented that seven-shaped system for being able to know what to sing. You see the note right away, you see its shape, and it tells you where to put it on the scale, where to put it. And it makes sight reading much easier. It makes it, well, I'm going to read to you a little something that I didn't know before. But back in the 1950s, there was a man named, his name was George Kine. He decided he was going to experiment with fourth and fifth graders. George H. Kine, he decided he was going to experiment with fourth and fifth graders in California. He took care to match his experimental and control groups. He took a group of fourth and fifth graders learning only round notes that didn't have any shapes. They were all just round. And they had to learn where to put them, what sound they were by the space on the score. By what space or line they were on the score, like our hymn books have. You know that. Let's draw ourselves a little treble clef here, something like that. Anyway, you know that thing. And then I got it backwards. But then you just put these notes, either a line or a space. And anyway, half of these fourth and fifth graders learned that, and he took care to know what level of skill they had to have both groups the same, and their teacher, how good their teacher was. Their teachers were. He did several groups, and there wasn't just one teacher or anything. He wanted to do a control study, and he had another group doing the shape notes, like we're learning over here, shape notes. And here's what it says. He took their ability and the quality of teacher and various other factors into consideration. He found that students taught with shape notes, learned to sight read significantly better than those taught without them. George Kine also found that the students taught with shape notes were also far more likely to pursue musical activities later on in their education. So, that's why we're doing shape notes. We learn better. We learn better, and we're going to be able to have a group that learns better as well with shape notes. All groups that use that one of the reasons that Jesse Eichen invented the shape notes is it's because you learn to sing without the accompaniment of an instrument, a musical instrument. Here we don't have a musical instrument other than give us the first pitch. We don't need to follow this instrument. We can read them. We can read them with our shape notes. It's more accessible. It can be done the other way, but we learn a little better this way. So, I'm going to give you low C.
No,
let's sing.
No, ready.
Some of you are following your neighbor beside you. That's fine. But I want you to go home and practice this by yourself. Practice with your brother or sister to help you. And then just practice it by yourself. You need to get this. One of these is very helpful to give you an exact pitch. But you can do it. You can pick do. Just go do. Just pick a do. And go up from there. Now let's go do. Following your neighbor. That's fine. If I got you to do it by yourself, I'm not going to make you do that now, yet. But you would struggle to find high dough. And that's all right. That's because we all need to practice.
Dough, re-mi.
Scale is the simplest thing to learn. It takes a lot of practice sometimes. We all have varying levels of abilities in music. But you just practice that. And you know it's hard, just keep on doing it. And you'll soon be able to, you girls, switch to alto. So you're singing alto. No one else is helping you, but you're singing it. And the boys, of course, tenor. Quite a few of you can already, that's good. But we want to be able to sing by sight reading ourselves. That's what we're doing. Okay, that was just a little bit of a study for you today. And I wanted to have you another paper with the scale on it, and we'll see when I can get that to you. But you can find it as well. Just practice it. Well, let's start off with our same hymn we started last Sunday. Let's go with Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You. The sopranos. And if you see the next note down is the altos. And you all are going to go down to sol. You're going to have to go down from do. And you tenors stay on do, that just like the pitch pipe was blown. Because the pitch pipe gives us do. I'm blowing G because there is a little sharp there. It's that this is a sharp. There it goes. Here's a flat. There. How's that? And do I have that the right size? I was drawing one of them for quite a while. But a sharp and a flat are what we use in music for our key signature. Okay? And there's one of these there. And that means I need to blow G, just with one sharp. There, that's a sharp and that's flat. Okay. And now the little saying with sharps and flats. We have a saying. If there's one sharp, we say go. The word go. And that's G, okay? If there are two sharps, we say go down, D, that's D. So the whole saying is go down and eat breakfast first. Go down and eat breakfast first. That's what I use. You don't have to use that. Some people say good deeds are ever bearing fruit. But I say go down and eat breakfast first. I like breakfast. Anyway, so if you have four of them, what would it be, somebody? We could go down and eat breakfast first. What would four be?
E.
E. That's right. For eat. Go down and eat. Now, and the flats are, we use another one. It's called Fat Boys Eat Apple Dumplings Greedily. That's our saying for that. So with one, we have the key of F. F. Fat Boys. So I'm blowing G, and that gives us do. And you'll pick your note from that if you're on alto, if you're on tenor, or bass. First note for joy. Ready?
Every hour, sunshine.
take a new one. I love thy kingdom, Lord. What is the round circle again that the sopranos are going to start on? What's the round circle? The note? It's a round one? Sol. That's right. So, here we have three sharps. What key do we need?
A.
A. That's correct. So I'm going to pick A over here.
Do,
so, do. You see how we're going to go down to sol, our sopranos.
Do,
so. Ready?
I love my kingdom, Lord, the rest of my world, the church our blessed Redeemer saved with His own precious blood. I love my church, O God, where walls before Thee stand, dear as the apple of Thy eye, and graven on Thy hand.
Check our pitch again. Sometimes we get off partway through. I usually tend to slide up, just start going up. That was a little hard. Let's do it again. I went up a slight bit.
Joy to the world yet.
Isaac Watts. This one's usually considered a Christmas song, but Isaac Watts didn't have that in mind. It wasn't his only idea when he wrote this. It was just so exciting that Jesus came. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. We're getting a King. And everybody that waited for long years got to see this baby King, and makes you want to sing. Okay, what do we have here? That pitch. Go down and eat breakfast first. Who will give it to me? D. D, that's right. Turn it over so I can read these. Let's do that again. We gotta go the whole way up from low do to high do. See that? What if I would start there? You know right away it's not gonna work to stay on this one. Joy to the world, O Lord. That's way too low, right? So we know we have to go up. That helps you if you can't go straight from low do to high do. Take the steps. Do mi sol do. At my beats, I'm trying to keep you in time. So, but when we just look down here, we get all excited and we start to race, and we get ahead. You get ahead of your neighbor gets ahead of his neighbor, and we don't stay together. Let's just start over again. And let's take it gentle. I know we're excited, but let's take it gentle and steal a glance at me every now and then, so we're staying together. Okay. Sunday. I'm going to bring you more. So we're going to keep on practicing these. And we're going to just make the best sound creation you've ever heard. It's just because it's God's crowning creation, man and women.
that are able to use their best instrument in the world and make a beautiful sound. God bless you all. You can come back. And boys, you're doing your assignment.
For a boys' lesson, we were supposed to tell some of the differences between followers of God and those who go after the devil. And I was thinking, those who go after the devil, they generally live selfishly, and do everything they do is for themselves. Like if they love, it's for their own pleasure and things. But God's people, they do it for others first and for God.
I thought about non-resistance. Those who don't believe in Jesus tend not to do non-resistance, and followers of Christ will show non-resistance.
Some things that followers of the devil do that are like that wouldn't even be a temptation for followers of Christ. The followers of the devil just love it, and that's just because they're following after him.
Followers of God give when they see a need, or just give to help, and that's a blessing because we're not here for the world. We come out of this world, and so we're not here like forever. We're just here to help everyone, and that's someone that was following the devil would want to get everything built up and have it perfect here, but we're following the Lord.
Jesus said that you will be known because you love your brothers if you follow him. The devil's followers just love themselves and think only of themselves.
On Friday night when we were preaching in Fayetteville, it was just seeing all the people that just obviously are following the devil and even say that they do. It just kind of like what Jaden was saying, they all just do what they want to do and just live for themselves. But people that follow the Lord are always looking out for other people's best and also to please God.
The followers of the Lord, they help each other out and encourage each other in hard times, and instead of being out for themselves and not thinking of others.
True Christians live by God's grace, and love thy God with all thy heart, soul, body, and mind. Second greatest is love thy neighbor with all thy heart. And most people might say that they do, but they, when it comes down to it, they might just do what they want anyways and don't really apply that to their lives.
Followers of Christ can, in the hard times, they can keep going and praise God because they know he's good and will protect them and be a good master. And the followers of the devil don't have that to look up to.
I thought one of the differences was the people that are following Christ, they've got something to look forward to, and they're looking for a better life and a better kingdom.